Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. David, you checking on me today? Remember, you got a job. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to see Jesus today, don't we? You know, all these imperatives and things like that and things that I'll mention today are all based on Jesus Christ. And He's the only reason we can do anything anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word. We know the verses prior to this is talking about death and Jesus' resurrection and the gospel and all that. I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 58. The turning of the pages means you love God, you love His Word, I love you, you love me, I believe in you. Because I believe in God. I believe in you because you believe in God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Father, I know the preaching of your word is not in vain, because by that which the world would call foolish, you save souls, and none will be lost. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be and will be seated. And maybe you'll stand up some more. I've got several points I want to make today, and I've got bullet points on here and all that. It is 11:32, praise God. I don't think we'll get into bonus minutes, but maybe we will. Life often seems to be very vain, doesn't it? It does seem to be vain. There's a lot that we do, and we put effort into it, and then it falls apart, even in the church world. The book of Ecclesiastes was even about vanity. You know, the preacher, Qoheleth, is how you say it, something like that, in Hebrew, and it means the preacher. And just like me and you, you know, you're sitting around sometimes, you're thinking, I can't stand it. They don't get it. What am I going to do? My wife's bothering me. Leave me alone. This is vanity. What am I doing? Yes, mother. Whatever it is, I've got to do this. That's my little wife. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. It's vanity. It's not working. Oh, I'm just going to do some sideshow. I'll just do this. I'll just do that. Tempted to compromise. It's vanity. I worked so hard for that man for 20 years. And some hotshot comes in and they get rid of me. I gave 50 years to that company. And they had a pension plan. Now they won't even pay for my prescription medication that I need. Why bother? Why do anything extra? I'm saved anyway. Why go through all the trouble? All it's going to do is cause extra trouble. Why would I do that? Oh, why worry about holiness? It's about Jesus' righteousness anyway. That's the truth. Why worry about this stuff? Oh, why give money to the church? That guy don't need nothing. Look at the suit he's wearing. For the 80th time. And there's a lot of uncertainty in the world today, isn't there? There is, especially here in Florida right now. You know, we have all the elections, and boy, in Citrus County, all kind of property issues and tax issues. It's going on everywhere. And boy, I got gas last night because I was afraid it was going to shoot up to $5 today, you know, because they closed down all the pumps in the Gulf because you got hurricane on one side. Guess what? There's another on the other side, you know. I told you about all the persecution in India right now, and we have relatives, nieces and nephews and children and all that there now. Tomorrow in the United States, it's Labor Day. Labor Day. I'm going to give you a Labor Day message. No one ever does that. They give you an Easter message, a Christmas message. Hope they don't give you a, well, I guess they could give you a Valentine's Day message, you know. But it's a Labor Day message. So I have something to tell you today. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. You may die trying. it may fall down and no one ever come to the Lord. You've been witnessing for 20 years. It is not in vain. What you do for the Lord in secret that no one else sees, that I'm scrubbing the toilets, it is not in vain. Trying to get those good grades, trying to have a good marriage, trying to be a little nicer to people, trying to understand people, trying to do this or that or do the right thing, or sitting down and taking a back seat for a little while when everybody should notice how great you are. It's not in vain. What's the use, people say? You know, why bother? When everything seems to be crumbling around, oh, I've got Jesus, why bother trying to help people? You know, I can't put up with that. Why go the extra mile if you're saved? No one's going to appreciate it anyway. What good's it going to do? My little life, how's that going to make a difference? The big scheme of things, why go through all the trouble, right? Here's why. I want you to seize on this one promise today. You don't have to. You can get the outlines and the notes. You can hear this on sermon audio on the World Wide Web. We have it. You can get a CD copy today, all that. But I just want you to remember one thing. This is a promise. And it says, therefore, it's based on Christ. Your work is not in vain. We're so beat down and depressed and oppressed and nothing seems to be working for us, and it just doesn't seem right. And even people in the church are just grating on your nerves, and your marriage is just, because, you know, there's no jobs, there's no money, and everything just seems terrible. And then the children are going one way, and you've told them all their life to go this way. And you see it in the Bible, it says they will not turn away, yet it looks like they've turned away. What are you going to do? I may tell you, you're going to keep on keeping on, because it is not in vain. This promise is as big as you want it to be. This promise is as good as the character of God. It's a promise that's built upon nothing less than the person and work of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, in other words, because of what I just said, he's been talking about the gospel and the resurrection. He says, if Jesus has not been resurrected, then your faith is in vain. But he has been resurrected, and we will be resurrected, and he does live inside us. Therefore, we do not work in vain. Not in vain. We're not like those that have no hope. We have a hope and a future. Even if we die trying, it's not in vain. The great missionary William Carey was in India. We've been talking about India. He was there, I think, for 11 years before he saw one convert. And now they call him the guy that started the modern mission movement. It wasn't in vain. It wasn't in vain. And we come here with hurricanes and lack of this and that and the other thing and just a few people, and in a few years we build it up and we get more, and then half the room starts showing up new and then half the room fades away. But it is not in vain. It is not in vain. We preach to our children all their lives and then they die in some wreck on drugs, and we are mad at God, and I can understand that, and yet it's not in vain. Nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. This is based on the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's a promise that cannot fail. This cannot fail. This promise will undergird you, motivate and inspire you, guide you, and we're going to show you this, it graces you. This promise, there is grace attached to it. For whatever may lie ahead, no matter how great or how small, how difficult or how exciting, this one promise stands as a towering reminder of the promise of God to all His children. That promise is the reason for our practice. You see, He gives all these promises. I mean, He gives Jesus and the doctrine of God, and then He says, therefore, you can go to it, because God's grace is with you. Your labor is not in vain. We should be convicted by this promise. Look at the word. It says, steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. It means settled in. It means settled in. Nothing is going to move you. You are looking, remember we sang it today, my face is set like flint for the joy set before me. By the power of my God, I listen and obey. We're steadfast, settled in. We're convicted by this promise. So many times, other things distract us. And we think, oh, I'm going to go for this, I'm going to go for that. Oh, it doesn't matter anyway. That one little Bible study, I don't have to read this morning. I've got bigger things to do. No, it is not in vain. Lose the sleep. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about those things. Your work for the Lord is not in vain. It's bigger than anything you do here on earth. Amen. For earth's sake. And for humanity's sake. This will help you be motivated the correct way. Wait till we get there. We should be convicted by this promise. It should convict you. Your work is not in vain. But so many times we just lay off and don't do things because we think, well, they'll be in vain. It really is not going to make that big of a difference. Why witness to that one person at the truck stop who keeps looking at me with longing eyes? You think, I don't have time for that. What, are you going to read them Genesis to Revelation? And if God told you to, you ought to anyway, but it's not in vain. Maybe that one word of comfort you can say, how many times has that happened in your life where someone has come and said, thank you for saying that, and you're thinking, what did I do? Because it's not in vain. Not in vain. It's a promise. Look at it. Steadfast, because it's not in vain. So we should be convicted by this promise, but we should be controlled by this promise. It says, unmovable. It means you can't be stirred. We've been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. No matter what happens, the ground around you is falling, the sky is falling, everything is happening. Remember what we said from Psalm 46? It says, be still and know that I'm God. That's God telling everything around you that's causing you to stir, be still. Unmovable. Nothing else can stir you up from this place of grace. Unshaken. You're controlled. Paul said that the love of Christ constrains us. You're constrained. You're in a straitjacket. Don't you want the will of God to be that guy to you sometimes? Like, man, just make me do it, God. Well, if you're doing work for the Lord, believe me, you're doing that. There's grace there. It's not in vain. Convicted by the promise. See, I'm just giving you a little outline now, so that way you can just, you know, you can just write some notes like that and then just free form sort of listen to me. Controlled by this promise. We should be compelled by this promise. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding means superfluous. More than you need. Increasing, abounding, abounding. You come home and your children see you every day, yet they come running and running. Oh, Daddy, 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 they're abounding in love for you. You think, wow, that's just out of the ordinary. That's what abounding is. It's out of the ordinary. It's more work. And it's not in vain. No matter how much you abound, you're on good ground. It's not in vain. Not in vain. Convicted by the promise. Controlled by the promise. Compelled. See, you can't outwork God. The more you work, you'll see the more He's worth. And it'll make you want to do more because your labor is not in vain. You should hold on to this promise. So convicted, controlled, compelled, and convinced. Convinced by this promise. It says, knowing that. And there's that word we've talked before about the different words for know. You know, ginosko, epigenosko, oide. This one is oide. It's Strong's 1492. It's usually used in the past tense. It means you already know this. Knowing that my wife won't look to another. Knowing that she won't leave me. Knowing that even if I screw up, she's going to be there for me. Knowing that even if I get a little mad at her, she's going to be smiling anyway after she slaps me in the face or whatever. Knowing that I can trust and move and do the things I need to do as a man, as a husband, as a pastor, as a father, grandfather, all that, because I've already known that. That thing's out of the way. Knowing that Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Knowing that your work is not in vain. Knowing it. You're convinced. Don't you try to do that to people. You're like, oh no, you really just need to be with the Lord. And they're like, oh, I just don't want to do it anymore. It's not worth it. No, it's not in vain. Well, yeah, but every time I try it, you know, it doesn't seem to work for me. Who are you working for? For you or for God? when you really finally give in to that, just let it go and say, Lord, even if it stinks, I'm going to love you. He'll start making you like that smell. Do you think the smell of death is exciting for those in India right now? It's not. It's not. It's fearful, but they have worry in the sense of fearful of, oh my goodness, my children, my grandchildren, these people and all that, but not in the sense of what happens when I die. No, they know what's happening. They know where they're going. Do you know where you're going? Is your work in vain? Not if you're in the Lord. Not if you're working for the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it. Don't compromise to get that $50,000 when you don't have any money. Just suffer the loss. Work as unto the Lord and you'll see it. You have to trust God to be able to treasure God. And here's a promise. I have more than a dream. I have a promise. My work in the Lord, your work in the Lord, our work in the Lord is not in vain. So we should be convicted, controlled, compelled, convinced, knowing that, and comforted. It says, in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Doesn't mean your personal agenda is not in vain. It means your work in the Lord. Don't have time to cover all that, but I'll cover it a little bit today. See, I love being inspired. I love inspiring men with inspiring dreams, inspiring words, and with inspiring ideas. Those always inspire me. Everybody loves to be inspired. A lot of times people go to churches because it gets them all fired up and they go to a motivational speaker type guy, but he doesn't base that on Christ. That's why they keep having to get their fix. And they think the guy's a great preacher, and maybe he is not. If he's not presenting Christ, he's just presenting your best life now. I'm telling you, that's not Jesus Christ. You need Christ. Amen. So I have been inspired. This past week was the 45th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, you know, I have a dream. I have a dream. You should read that. It's so inspiring. And he's talking about God all through it. Just because someone mentions God doesn't mean it's godly, but I challenge you to read the thing. I have a dream that one day men will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I don't care who you vote for and things like that, that's not the point, but we're at that day. Here we are at that day. Got a man of color and a woman. And that one of them is going to be elected. We're at that day. Dr. King had a dream. And maybe it's not true for everybody, but that labor was not in vain. Here we are. Here we are. And many people are buying it. Everybody's going to have to buy into it. One of them's getting elected. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to worry about all the politics. I'm saying that's inspiring. You should read that. You should read Letters from a Birmingham Jail. It'll change your life. It's inspiring. He said at the end, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We're free at last. I think of Martin Luther at what's called the Diet of Worms. Worms, German. And he had started not the civil rights movement, but the Protestant Reformation. And they took him to task and took him before the trial and said, Martin Luther, will you recant of his 95 theses? And what he had said about the Pope and about purgatory and all these other things in penance. And he said, unless convinced by the Word of God and by plain reasoning, here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. He had a vision. He had a cause. It was right and righteous. And here we are. I think of Patrick Henry and the American Revolution. What did Patrick Henry say? Give me liberty or give me death. So I appreciate the imagination to inspire, the will to win, the courage to convict and convince, and the desire to see men and women rise up to their potential. But men and women are all part of the fallen human race. And no amount of inspiration, imagination, vision, hard work, and unity of purpose will truly carry us to the promised land. We need something more. We need something sure. I found it. That's right. I have more than a dream, more than a hope, more than potential, more than an inspiring idea. I have a promise from God. And so do you. I have more than inspiration. I have empowerment. The grace of God that adorns this promise. Therefore, the grace of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the work, the ergon, the ergonomics, you know. God's got His grace. Your labor, your work is not kenos. It's not empty. There's nothing happening. It's not empty. God's promise says it's not empty. It's not in vain. Maybe no one shows up to the event. It's not in vain. Maybe no one gets saved. Well, you don't know that, by the way. And it's not in vain. Maybe you get beat up for it. It's not in vain. Maybe they run you out of the place. It's not in vain. You see, you can't grow unless you're stretched. It's not in vain. Not in vain. But this isn't what I wanted to do. Your work is not in vain. Where He places you, He graces you. That's the meaning of the text. Our work in the Lord is not in vain, even when we do not rise, but when we fall and when we fail, this promise still stands, for it is based on our Lord's work. It is His grace that saves us and allows us to do anything good anyway. Our hope, our destiny, our dream, and our faith is not dependent upon our own power, but it is rooted in God's power. He cannot fail, even if we do fail. We cannot lose. Because He cannot lose. I have more than a dream. I have a promise from God. So do you. This is about more than a man who's been to the top of the mountain. This is about the one who's been to the heights of heaven and down to the depths of hell. And He can lift us up and help us to see God Himself. It's about the one who was anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty to those who are oppressed. Why bother to labor? It's worth the work. Even if it doesn't seem to work out, it's worth it. God says, God promises, you're based on Jesus Christ, not just because Paul said so. He bases everything. He says, therefore, your work is not in vain. Somebody, not in vain. Even if we pray and that person dies and nothing seems to happen, you have to put up with a bad boss, you get treated spitefully, it's not in vain. I have so many verses I could use here, and I'll just throw out a couple. You can, oh man. The Bible, this is what it speaks of. Trusting in God's truth and His promise to deliver you even when He leaves you in that place that you don't like. Who do they look to when everyone's in a dark place? The one with the flashlight. The one with the light. How about Habakkuk 3:17-19? No sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stall, no horses, no fruit on the vine. Sounds like there's no fruit at all. But I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He'll make my feet like hinds feet, right? He'll set me up on my high places. He'll give you a new perspective. You need to be motivated in a different way. Not what you see. We walk by faith, not by sight. And He says, your work is not in vain. Not in vain. How many times have I given the Karate Kid example, but let me give it again. And here is the Ralph Macchio character and the Mr. Miyagi character is having him wash the car. One hand like this, wax on. One hand like this, wax off. And he's thinking, this guy's just taking advantage of me. Well, he was getting work out of him. But that work was not in vain because he was teaching him to block punches and kicks. It was more than you realize. Sometimes you think, I'm supposed to have this big ministry. I'm supposed to have this big thing. I'm not supposed to be doing toilets. But He's got to break you and make you and show you that you do not climb to the top of the ladder at the top rung. You climb all the way up, then you can show other people that you've been there. So many ministries in the church, so many things. But I want what I want. God wants something out of you. And that is to learn to submit even to the bad guys. Even to the loud mouths. Even to the abusers. It's not in vain. Can't you see that? Right there. Knowing that. Knowing it. Knowing it. Knowing it. Do you know it? It's not in vain. No matter what it is. It says your labor. There's no qualifier on that. Your labor in the Lord, except that it's in the Lord, is not in vain. Well, it's not working. How do you know? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Your struggle with trying to read your Bible, your struggle with trying to study your Bible, it's on paper, Paul. You're trying to study the Bible. Your struggle with trying to learn the Bible. Your struggle with your witnessing. Your struggle with your prayer. Your struggle with giving to the church. Your struggle with people in the church. Your struggle with sin. Your struggle with doubt. Your struggle with pain. Your struggle with depression. Your struggle with suffering. Your struggle with your health, your family, your finances, your marriage, with loneliness, light, lack, love. When everything's a mess, when nothing is working. When you're struggling with God's will. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. But you say, well, yeah, but I've already signed my get out of hell free card. Why do anything else? Let's look to some greater men than I. Let's look to the third president of Princeton University, the man who was preaching around the time of the American Revolution, the man who preached sinners in the hands of an angry God. You know who he is, Jonathan Edwards. This is what he said. For all shall be perfectly happy. Everyone shall be perfectly satisfied. Every vessel that is cast into this ocean of happiness is full. Though there are some vessels far larger than others. Everybody will be their cup in the ocean. And they won't be mad, they won't be envy. They'll look at love. The other one will look at love. But some of those cups are going to fill a little more. That's Jonathan Edwards. Wow. Anybody know what my favorite book is besides the Bible and perhaps Knowing God? Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim's Progress. You guys read it? You should read it. Oh my goodness, you should read it. There's enough theology in there. Oh man. John Bunyan said, he who is most in the bosom of God and whoso acts for Him here, he is the man who will be best able to enjoy most of God in the kingdom of heaven. In discussing 1 Corinthians 15 and the work of the Lord, Jonathan Edwards was talking about Romans 2:10 and other verses, and he points to verse 41 in 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from stars in glory. And he was saying his point there, that we don't know exactly how it works out, but it would seem to be. Because remember the parables. He gave you one talent, two talent, five talent, ten talent, what you did with us. You've been faithful in little, here's much, and all of those things. You know, Mark 4:21 through 24 says, with the measure that you use, the measure you, that's the measure you'll get. If you have a thimble full and you want to be full, you, praise God, you're going to be full. You got a 55-gallon drum and want to be full, praise God, you're going to be full. If you can ask God for the strength to carry around a water tower and say, I want to be full. Of course, you know what that means. It's going to knock you over and let it all spill out. Praise God. There's so many verses I could refer to. And yes, everybody who by God's grace goes to heaven will be glad to be there. But it does seem like some people are going to be a little more gladder than others. Now again, I don't have to go into all that. It's a debated topic. Rewards in heaven is a debated topic because the greatest eternal reward is Christ Himself. You see, you can have all that. I don't want just a mansion. I don't want a shack. I don't want this, that, and the other thing. I want Jesus. That's why I'm going to heaven for. If Jesus isn't there, it's not heaven. No sickness, no disease. Everybody's getting along. Everybody looks good. No one has a problem with money. No one has a problem with anybody else. But Jesus isn't there. I don't want that. Don't give me utopia. Give me heaven. Our inheritance is based on His righteous life and sacrificial death, not ours. Our justification and our sanctification. Justification, right? Just as if you never sinned, it's being saved on His righteousness. Based on His righteousness. It's not the righteousness that He gives to you. It's the righteousness He is for you. Right? That's why when the devil comes talking to you and says, well, David, you failed again. You lied to that guy. You did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. You say, I don't know why you're talking to me, devil. Talk to the hand. The nail-scarred hand. Maybe my righteousness isn't perfect, but I'm not depending on mine. I'm depending on Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's where you're looking. The nail-scarred hand. So our justification, but also our sanctification, our growth in grace is based on Christ. It's all of grace. So we can go round and round on the whole rewards in heaven thing. The truth is, I really don't know how that's all going to work out. Here you go. Here's the theologian. What's the answer to that question, Ted? I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know. Can I say it again? Some people think I'm arrogant. I don't know. Yay. Such an important thing. I don't know. I don't know. A couple more times. I don't know. The truth is, I don't know how it's all going to work out. But in any event, the truth that we do know for sure is this. I do know that all my work in the Lord will not be in vain. Not one ounce. Not one inch. Not one moment of effort spent on glorifying God will be wasted. It brings Him pleasure. We aim to please God. Not to get something from Him, but because we've already received something from Him, His love. We try and imitate Him because it's the right thing to do. Because it glorifies God. Because we love Him. And because we want to, or at least we want to. But even when we fail, we look to Him in faith and realize the reason we can't do or want to do any of this is because of Him. He's already done it for us. It's His righteousness, His glory, His love, His want to, His perfect life that counts for us. Our labor is not in vain. Why? Because His labor was not in vain. His labor was not in vain. What He did does not fail. Not one drop of that precious blood that was spilled will go to waste. He's not waiting for people to be saved. He knows exactly who they are, and they were saved on Calvary. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You better have been saying yes. You were there in the body of death. That was you getting punished with Christ taking the hit. All my eggs are in this one basket. I ain't got no eggs anywhere else. And when I find eggs, I go on I go on that egg hunt, that Easter egg hunt. And I get them eggs and I put them in that basket. I'm all in, baby! Cash in! Based on His promise. His life, His death, His resurrection. That's what shows His character. I'm banking my life, my soul, my all on it. He's worthy of the work! I'm not holding anything back. He's worth the work. Our work does not save us, but it does praise Him. And it is not in vain. That's why when you turn on your little car radio and you're praising the Lord, shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. And you think you're all silly and all that, and then you even have a bad day and don't do some good things or whatever. That stuff was not in vain. It was not in vain. It was not in vain. You see, what's going to happen here is you're going to get up in heaven. And that stuff's not going to be in vain, but all the sin's going to be paid for. Even if the sin is this gigantic pile, which it will be. And your little stuff is only like this. It's the righteousness of Christ that cancels this out. That goes over there. Now it's like, okay, now what you got right here? Was it done for the Lord? It's not in vain. You see, if you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you, and He gives you power to do that. Don't stop worrying about, I did this and I did that. You know, repent of the thing, but move on. I got 5 hours left in the day. I think I'll call my mother that I haven't talked to in 40 years. Not in vain. I flipped off another guy on 200. Oh my goodness, what am I doing? I'll go stop and help that person that's on the side of the road. Not in vain. Every little thing you did for God's glory, you will be eternally grateful for. He's so wonderful. He gives you the power to do it. He lives through you that you might give glory to Him. The more you treasure Him, the more treasure you lay up in heaven. You may not see it now, but the exchange rate is very well worth it. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Whew. See, people talk about Christianity and say, you know, they've tried it and they didn't like it. Or people are Christians, yet when exhorted to go on with the things of God, they say, it didn't work for me. But we're to be working for Him. That's not in vain. You can learn from your mistakes. They're not in vain. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You cannot grow unless you are stretched. What are you going to grow into? The image of Christ stretches you. And you want to look away and go, no, 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 no. And then repentance is, and then you got to go forward. Stretches you, conform your shape. Do not be conformed to the mold, the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you renew your mind, then you have experience. And then are you going to have faith or not? There's your Christian life. But let me tell you something, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it seems to be that you fail, no matter if anybody's looking or not, even if they look at you down and say, hey, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Yeah, you can't get here till 12 o'clock. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. How many people know that it's not in vain? How many times have you worked for the Lord and it just all worked out so beautifully, more than you could, above you could, what you could ask or think? But how many times have you done it and it seemed to backfire and not go so good? The Lord's promise is it is not in vain. Your perspective just needs this change. That doesn't mean you don't go, oh my goodness, Lord, and pray. You just know that it's not in vain. You just ask Him to show you. And you trust even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Your struggle for excellence instead of settling for more than mediocrity. To be a man or woman of quality rather than just going with the flow. To get good grades, like I said. To have a godly marriage. To stand firm in the faith and not just compromise to avoid confrontation. Hello. Is it worth it? Yes. It's not in vain. Why do anything extra when I'm saved anyway? Because we have a sure word from God that all our effort, all our energy, all our existence is not in vain in the Lord. Paul says, therefore, all of this promise is based on the work of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians again. Look at verse 14. I've said it earlier, but I just want you to see it and read it. Verse 13 says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is in vain. There's those same words. We're going to be misrepresenting God. We've testified about Christ being raised from the dead. But verse 17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But He has been raised. And your faith is not in vain. And your work in the Lord is not in vain. The work of Christ was not in vain. Again, not one single drop of His blood that was spilled will go to waste. Well, here's all this blood waiting for people that just wouldn't choose God. Uh-uh. No. Not a buckus. He knew who He was going to save, and He saved them. And the Bible says, we read it this morning from John chapter 6, verses 37 through 39, and 40, not one will he lose. People say, oh, well, nobody can pluck them out of his hand, but you can jump out of his hand. No, you can't. That same hand is holding you in. It's keeping other people from you. It's keeping you from yourself. And when you go out there and look over the edge and try to look through those fingers, he has a little thump on you. Maybe it hurts your head a little bit, but you get back in line. Those that are God's will pay attention to those warning passages. Those that are God's will feel that chastisement. Those that are God's will get back in line. They will persevere because they are preserved. They're pickled, Steve. They're pickled. The most precious commodity in the universe is Jesus' blood. Do you think God would have Jesus shed His blood in vain at all? No. You see, we think it's all about us, and it is not about us. It's about God and His work. The reason that we don't work in vain is because He doesn't work in vain at all. You need to see the bigger picture here. This will shape your theology. This will help you. This will help you understand what is a dirty word in the world today, but it's true. It's called, here we go, people get mad at me, here you go, limited atonement. Particular redemption. See, we do not make sheep. We find them. God does not give you a chance to save yourself. He loved you before you loved Him. He comes and plucks you out of the fire, and then you realize that's what faith is. Like, oh my goodness, praise the Lord! I made a decision for Christ. He made a decision for you. You don't choose Him. Get real! Do you think, oh, I know I'm getting all theological now, but if you think one drop of His blood, yeah, it's good preaching, one drop of His blood was shed in vain, you're blaspheming the blood of Jesus Christ. Ouch. We were talking about you, Bob. We said, even if you show up at 12 o'clock, it's not in vain. We're talking about in vain. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. And you had all this stuff, and you're not in jail, are you? Where are you sitting? Right here in church, aren't you? That's a good thing, ain't it? I'm bopping you upside the head. I love you. Not in vain! Not in vain! Jesus' work was not in vain. That's why our work is not in vain. It's based on that, not just because Paul said it, because Jesus did it. It's a sure word, so that little thing that you do think no one else is going to notice, believe me, God is watching. You don't have to be guilty about it. You can feel good about it. So even when you sin, don't just go, oh, no, get right back on the horse. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that what they tell you when you're learning to ride? Don't hold that against me. I told him I was going to go up there, David, to the ranch and ride that horse one time, and that was going to be it, and I got on this ornery horse. Kicked me off, I had to jump and mount ride and all that, and I said, I'm done! But it was not in vain, because it's a sermon illustration. And I married a barrel racing girl, so she can do the horse riding for me. It was named Cotton. Again, remember we preach from Romans 3, verses 25 and 26, and it talks about the fact that even though all come sin and come short of the glory of God in verse 23, the whole idea of Christ redeeming was to prove God's righteousness. We're included in that deal, yes. But it was to vindicate God. You preach the cross, it vindicates God. God is righteous. God is good. You think, oh, what about the problem of pain and suffering and all that? Grace. Look to the cross. That was His plan. His work is not in vain. You may not understand that. Why do you have to do all this, God? We've talked about that before. Get those sermons again. But it's grace. And it's an understanding of God, and it is not in vain. The power over death and sin, the vindication of God's righteousness is never in vain. Jesus' life and death were not in any sense of the word at all in vain. It gave God glory. It showed His love. All who God gave Christ, He has lost none. You can't stop the power of God. The world may not see the truth, but your work in the Lord is not futile. It is fruitful. Your work is not in vain because His work was not and is not in vain. You know, Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, therefore shall he also reapeth. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life. And then it says, do not be weary in well-doing, but be good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Your brothers and sisters, remember we talked about washing feet, and that means more than just being of service and humility to people. It means you have a specific group of people. You can't wash everybody's feet in that fashion. You can sort of spray their feet off, but you can't get down there and get dirty with them and down in the mud and all that. And have to say, oh, you stink, but still wash their feet. That's the work that's not in vain. Ephesians 6, 7 and 8 and Colossians 3, 17, 23 and 24 basically say, do your work not as trying to please a man, but as trying to please God, because He's the one that's watching and He's the one that's going to give you a reward. And we got some people in this church that are so good and do so much that almost nobody knows. They kind of do, because after 4 or 5 years you realize, man, that guy's with kids all the time. Man, that lady is cleaning and doing whatever and sets up all the weddings and does all this other kind of stuff. And I just say those and everybody knows who they are. But your work is not in vain. It's not in vain. You don't do it to seek the praise of men, but the pleasure of God. And you're doing it and you feel God's pleasure inside of you. John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in Him. And I don't get mad when, you know, you guys are busy and you forget to fold the bulletins and we made them bigger so now it takes a little while longer and I can't finish my sermon prep and all that. I just fold the bulletin and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If He saw that as opportunity, wouldn't we be running to these things instead of trying to avoid them? If you saw paper on the floor, a bulletin over here, coffee spilled, someone needs some care, someone needs some help, someone needs something, you'd be there because your work is not in vain. And where God places you, He graces you. Where He places you, He graces you. Do you believe that? Christians should not primarily be known for what they don't do. Oh, we don't do that because we're Christian. Get out of here. I'll go ahead and say it right on, man. Whew. Maybe we'll edit this part out, but I'll go ahead and say it. You know, you shouldn't get drunk and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible doesn't say you can't ever drink or anything like that. And if I go, you know, I was at Applebee's, and this is where I saw Dave and his wife, and we didn't have anything to drink. But if the waiter came up and said, well, you want this? They're just doing their job. I wouldn't go, oh, we don't drink, we're Christians. Oh, come on. Give me a keg. That's what I'd say. Break out the Macallan 25, $60 a shot. You know? Why? Because you're not defined by things you don't do, you're defined by things you do. Amen. Christians aren't supposed to be, no, we don't do this, we don't do that. No, we love people. Yeah. We accept people. We want to help people. We know God can change you. Amen. Again, I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 more. I want the homosexuals to be at this church. Why? Because I don't think it's wrong? No, it is wrong. But if they're trying to change, this is the place to do it. We got all kind of cut-ups in this congregation. Don't you know that? Man, we got everything here. And that's good. That's good on us. That looks good on us because that's Jesus' light showing up. That's the point. It's what you do. And they can change and God can help them. And if they're falling down, their struggle is good and vain. It's when they won't repent and they go out and say, well, I can march in a parade just because you can't tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. God's telling you what to do. But we're here to help you. You got a drinking problem. We're here to help you. You got a drug problem. You know we're here to help you. We're here. You're looking at it. Not anymore. But if you're struggling, let me tell you something. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. But I never got over it. Then I died and I was still, it was not in vain. You weren't counting on your righteousness, you were counting on His. It's not how far you are down the road. It's, are you on the road? You know what I'm saying? There's got to be marching orders anyway. You know what I'm saying? So I'm at the back of the line. So what? I'm in, baby! You know, I love the movies. I love our friends that are coming out with these new movies. And you see them and everything always seems to work out. What happens when it doesn't work out? What happens when He makes you cry? Remember the Spirit leads you to cry, Abba, Father? Oh, Abba, Father. No, ah! Right? What happens? It's not in vain. He's saying, you're mine. My seal's on you. Cry out to me. I'll be with you. I may let you die. But you're still the apple of my eye. Christians should not... I'm on the last page. It's only 12:19. We're going to get there. I've got some inspiring words. I've got more than a dream, Ed. I've got a promise. I love dreams. I love thinking big. You guys know I have a big imagination and an even bigger mouth. But the truth is I've got a promise from God and it is not in vain. I don't quite get the sermon. If someone told me recently, they go, I'm really all of a sudden starting to get these things. And they meant it to be so nice to me, and I'm like so crushed. I'm thinking, I thought I was the greatest preacher in America. There's somebody I know that loves me and that I love, and he's like, I'm really getting these things. I'm like, I'm going to get you, sucker. But the point is it? Yeah, I'm going to point you. It is not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. And I yell at you and I scream at you and I chase you down with a pitchfork or whatever. It's not in vain. You see, there's this thing called the ministry of helps. You know, people say, I want to be a prophet. I am an apostle. I got to pose for a little while. They put on their Bible, the evangelist this, the minister that. They make up titles. You know? The flag waver of the canonization of the left ventricle of whatever. I do my life from the heart, man. We're almost done. Get the CD. Dan, chase them down and get them to get the CD. Dan, chase them down and get them to get the CD. Get the name. Get it out. It's not in vain. They'll know we care. We do care. See, the ministry of helps. People say, oh, but it helps. Oh, come on. What's helps? You know what? You know why there's so many of them? Because that's important. And God gives a man a vision and a church a vision and all that. And you think, oh, but this, it matters just as much to God, believe me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 27 and 28, He has set some in the church. And in some verses it'll say, it's appointed. I love little babies crying. Don't even worry about that. I love that. That's not in vain. That's beautiful. Amen. He has set some in the church. He's appointed some. And if He's appointed, then He's anointed. If He's appointed, then He's anointed. You say, well, this isn't that much, believe me. You're anointed to cut the grass. The person that cuts our grass is anointed to it. I couldn't even cut my own grass. I overflowed ours with oil just so I didn't. Oops, did I say that out loud? Who, me? It was an accident. But we have 5 acres here or whatever and growing. Praise the Lord. And the person that cuts the grass, and she wears a pacemaker, and she's out there, I'm like, you like, she, I love it, I go, oh, and she's got 1,000 things going on in the hospital here, and this, that, and the other thing, and the lawn's done anyway. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But the weed eater's not done. You came to the weed eater, maybe I don't even know who you are, it doesn't matter. God saw. Amen. Maybe, you know, you got to scrub the toilets, or turn off the lights, or come to Diamond Ridge, or whatever it is. And the pastor doesn't notice you, or he picks on you and says, you didn't do it so good. Are you doing this with the, you know what I mean? Little 8, 9, 10-year-olds doing the little overheads here, or picking up here, or taking the communion cups, washing the communion plates and all that. That is not a big, it's not that big of a deal. It's not in vain. It needs to be done. There's grace to it. If it's appointed, it's anointed. God has set some in the church. He's appointed, so He's anointed. It's tremendously important. That's why we have so many with this gift. Just do that. God will show you the other stuff. You'll get to do them, and don't worry about it. Everybody gives you a title. You'll just be doing it. Ministry just emerges. You do it as you're doing it. I mean, I get words of knowledge, this, that, and the other thing, but I don't call them that and try to quantify them. They just come out. You know what I'm saying? They just come out. And all the little things you do, it may seem like no one cares, but believe me, God's secret service men and women will be highly paid in heaven. The unnoticed things, God notices. He will appreciate all your unappreciated work. It is not in vain. You know, as a pastor, I struggle a lot. You may think, no, yes. You think, oh, but your life is going so well, and you have a wife, and she's very beautiful, and you have a house, and you're making your payments, and you're doing great. You don't have these things that we have to deal with. No, but a little bit here and a little bit there times 80 or 100. Or we have people online or other people like that. I get a little bit of all that grief and I'm called to do it. And it's there and there's a grace for that and I'm thankful for it. And I'm here for you. But I struggle. Because just when it seems like some people are doing real well, then all of a sudden, they're not doing so well. It seems like you got new people come in and they really seem to be into it. And then, you know, I say one thing and they're gone. Or, you know, things just, you know, I struggle mightily with the text. And, you know, I like to preach through books, but then we seem to have so many sidetracks because God just speaks to my heart. And then so now, you know, lately I've been struggling to say, God, what would you have me to share from your word? And not just a thought or an idea. It's got to be linked to a text. I'm trusting in your word, and that's it. If I can't find it in the text, if I can't find a text that does it, not just I have an idea and I find a text, I have a text and the idea comes from it. You know what I'm saying? I struggle with that because I can do it so much easier and I don't have to use notes and I can talk for hours. You guys have talked to me. I could talk for hours and hours and hours and hours about theological things and be perfectly well biblical and all that stuff. But I want to know that I've heard from God. I want to know what His Word says. I want you not to be relying upon me and if I pass away or I'm gone or anything like that, the church falls. No, I want your life to be based on the Word. And someone else can pick up and run with it and then know that my labor is not in vain. And it would be in vain if it's all about me, but if it's about God and His Word, it will not be in vain. Again, it's real tough to see people that you know, almost treat you like you're divine, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, they treat you like you're the devil. And they leave the church, and they try to leave a wake. That can't be of God. That can't be of God. It can't be. It doesn't matter what I did or anybody else did. That can't be of God. It can't be. But see, understanding this promise, your work in the Lord is not in vain, that changes your perspective and your motivation. If we believe and act in accordance with this promise, it helps keep us from compromising the truth. I won't do whatever it takes to get you to do what's right. I'll do what God tells me to do and I'll let Him be responsible for the results. I won't be uncaring, but I'll be unflinching. You see what I'm saying? You got to learn that. You got to learn that. You know, when I think about Carl and Megan, you know, they put all that work. And we put a ton of money from this church as a percentage, huge amount of money into their ministry because we believe in it. And we believe what they were doing. And we believe in what God was doing. And they did it for so long and were doing so well. And then they came back and then they went back and all of a sudden it's just dried up. And they had to go somewhere else. But was all that work in vain? Not at all. Not 1 minute, not 1 second, not one penny was wasted in the work of the Lord. Now they're doing out there in Zambia. Think about our friend Dennis, and he had all that time in Nairobi. Now he spent all the time in the United States. Now he feels like, I don't want to go back to Nairobi. They've got it working. It would just be about me. I'm going to go back to Homa Bay, where we've planted the wells, and back to my, and it'll be so much harder for him. So much harder. But it won't be in vain. It won't be in vain. Sometimes we have to abandon projects and we think, oh my goodness, we wasted all this time. No. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. I have more than a dream today. I have a promise from God and so do you. The proper motivation is God's glory. We need to change our ideas. We need to leave the results to God. Don't compromise to get results. Your labor is not in vain. It is worth it. In heaven, you're going to see that. But you need to realize that now and be more concerned for Jesus and His glory than for people. I'm not saying dismiss people. I'm saying if you're really on fire for Jesus and His glory, it will change your perspective about what you are willing to do about people. You won't compromise and add a little bit of leaven just to get them to come in. You'll say, this is what Jesus is about. because Jesus is the one that draws them. It says, all that my Father gives to me are going to come to me, and none will be lost from my hand. My friend Dr. James White has been debating that passage with people of different persuasion that might be men and women of God, but for years, and you can't knock that passage down. And you can't knock this one down. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. We are in bonus minutes, and I'm almost done. Without a proper esteem and love for Christ Himself, and an understanding of His covenant love for His church, we're going to lack the motive. We're going to lack the power to serve Him in the world. If our ultimate motivation for service for God is simply because we love people, are you listening? We'll never be able to sustain the call to service that God has given us, because the very people we're called to serve will break our hearts. It's only the grace of God that enables us to persevere. Jesus' heart was broken. Oh, Jerusalem, how I've longed to take you under my wings like a hen does its chicks, and you would not. And He knew He was going to come down here. And He knew that He was going to suffer. And He knew that He was going to go to a cross. And He knew He was going to be raised the third day. But He still, before He shed blood on the cross, He shed it in prayer. And He still cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But quoting the 22nd Psalm, saying, I know I'm coming out of this thing. Anybody here ever seen the Jesus film by Campus Crusade for Christ? In it, it's near the end. He's in the garden and Satan comes to visit Jesus. Again, this isn't scripture. This is just a portrayal. And He's showing Jesus all the wars that would happen after Him. All the death, all the famine, all the pestilence, all the sin and sickness and disease and murder and everything else. And He goes, in vain, Jesus. In vain. In vain. And you wonder why the devil would do this when he knows Jesus is going to triumph. And he gives the idea of, well, I'm going to have more on my side at the end than you are going to have on yours. Friends, the devil does not win. I don't pretend to understand all the plan of God, why, what percentage. I don't know any of that. I do know the Bible says in Revelation 7:9 that a great multitude that you can't even number of every tribe, nation, tongue, kindred will be saved. Like the stars of heaven, like the sands of the sea. But Jesus' work was not in vain. Not one drop of that blood was in vain. I was going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 and 13 through 25, and it talks about an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, reserved for you, right? That are preserved by the grace of God. And now, even though we don't see Him, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we've been redeemed not by gold, not by silver, but by the precious blood of Christ. We're to love one another out of a fervent heart, serving one another, because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our friend K.P. Yohanan put out a video, and he said, I've never seen anything like this in my 30 years in Asia, in India, he was saying. It's demonically inspired. It's an ethnic cleansing. They're killing hundreds, apparently. Lots of Christians are on the rampage to do so. They're burning churches and burning people, all in the name of lies. It started based on a lie. They just turned it around to Christ. When they're killing those Christians, believe me, it's because of Christ. If they hated me, they will also hate you. But the truth is, none of that is in vain. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. And I want you to think about something and about your prayer. It says in verse 3, remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Their destiny is tied up in our destiny. Their hope is our hope. Their God is our God, and their labor is not in vain. Our hope in Christ is not in vain. See, life often seems to be vain. But our work for the Lord is not in vain. Why? Because the work of the Lord Himself was not in vain. And your life does not have to be in vain. You might be thinking, you know, okay, that sounds inspiring. But did you hear the word of the Lord? It's not just, I'm not just trying to inspire you and say, go, do work. It's based on the Lord. Therefore, because the Lord has shed His precious blood, because the Lord has atoned for sins, because the Lord has risen again, because all those that the Lord would call, is He calling you now? Can you hear His voice? If you do, don't harden your heart. Because He will keep you. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's Hebrews 13, 5 through 8 right there that we just saw. He's the same yesterday and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. But your life doesn't have to be in vain. You just need to work for the Lord. All those times you think, I don't want to go to church, come to church. I don't want to give. Just give a penny. I don't want to spend that money. It's just gas. And we're the people of God. I don't want to do this. Oh, that pastor. Ugh. We'll let Ed preach sometimes. Oh, that guy, you know, or this or that or the other thing. Oh, those people. You're one of those people. You're not perfect either. We worship the one who is. I can't get by. I can't cope without doing. You don't need cope. You need hope. You need hope. Our hope in Christ is not in vain. That's the key. The Lord part. Your work in the Lord. Even though we have trials, even though we have tribulations, we face a difficult life, pressure and persecution are always near, and death knocks on every doorstep. Still, we can know in no uncertain terms that our labor in the Lord is worth it all. It is not ever in vain. I know that one day in eternity, I'll see members of this congregation that the Lord has given me in His grace. Members who have lost loved ones. Members who have cancer and died. Members who lost their jobs, their homes, their health, their spouse, their children, their minds. They found themselves enemies of the world. And our friends overseas have gone to jail and given their very lives for the sake of the gospel. I know that one day in heaven, we'll all be glad. We'll be grateful. And we'll be glorifying the great God of our salvation in eternal bliss together forever. Forever. You may have pain for now, but you'll have pleasure forever. Maybe a lot of junk for now, but it'll be Jesus forever. We're all going to sit down and feast at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will know it's all worth it. These things may be above and beyond our understanding, but they are not above and beyond our God. And He says that all our struggles, all our hurts, all our losses and all our work will not be in vain. He sent His Son to make that promise sure. We can look to Christ. We can look to the cross. And we can know that God will make it all right. Acts 2:23 says that even though with wicked hands we slew the Lord Jesus Christ, it was after God's own will. He knew the plan. And it says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. It's all by His grace. And that grace is not given in vain. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, our work is not in vain. We have this promise. We have more than a dream. We have more than a potential. We have more than a cause. We have Christ. And His work was not in vain. Therefore, our work is not in vain. Let us therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our work is not in vain. Let us do all to your glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now I can just say, just do it. Just do it. Your work is not in vain. God bless you.